Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mahindra & Mahindra Earnings Conference Call hosted by HSBC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. In case you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agrawal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of HSBC, I welcome you all for the second quarter FY18 result call of Mahindra & Mahindra. First of all, a very warm welcome to the management team from the company. We are joined today by Dr. Pavan Goenka, Managing Director, M&M, Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy, Group CFO and Group CIO, and other senior management from the company, including the IR team. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Parthasarathy for his opening remarks. Partha, over to you, sir.
Thank you. I extend a very warm welcome to everyone on this call. I will share some update on key economic environment along with financials of Q2 F18. After my comments, Pavan will share overall performance and some specific inputs that he will give. Let me quickly talk about some of the macroeconomic updates. First, the world economic growth is picking up momentum. US economy had a 3% growth for second consecutive quarter, and Eurozone economics confidence is highest in last 17 years. IMF recently upgraded world growth outlook by 10 bps for 2017 and 18. This augurs well for the world economy going forward. Rainfall at 95% of long period average. It was the second consecutive year of near normal monsoon. Further, sowing has been largely on track and higher than last 5 years average. Industrial growth accelerated to a 9-month high in August 2017 with a 4.3% growth. After mega 0.9% in July and negative growth in June, this is a good transient path for the coming months and quarter if this momentum is maintained. Retail inflation is low at 3.28% in September and remained unchanged from revised figure of August. Overall, while 3.28 is marginally higher than the previous lows, it is low overall. The recent announcement of Union Government of bank recapitalization to the tune of 2.1 lakh crores will be vital dose for struggling Indian economy. This will release bank from NPA logjam and will enable fresh lending. Another big booster was the 7 lakh crore investment over the next 5 years in creating 80,000 kilometers of roads. This will push demand for truck and construction equipment industry. This will be a booster for job creation as well. On the back of this environment, let me share financial of Q2 F18. Let me first start by sharing two significant items relating to current financials. First, we have received court order for two-wheeler demerger with M&M, and accordingly, financials of all the periods are including the two-wheeler financials. For Q2 F18, MTW or Mahindra two-wheeler's top line was 37 crores, PBT was negative 21 crores, and PAT was negative 12 crores. So therefore, you will see while they are included, this quarter is not material impact on the bottom line and top line. The second one is, tractor becomes taxable under the GST regime. However, the previous year same quarter did not have any excise duty but had embedded input excise on the cost side. we have restated the previous year so that it becomes comparable. Some of you who have projected numbers based on last year may have taken this revenue and forecasted. So to that extent, the current year revenue you must recognize does not include both for auto and tractor, the GST, which sits as payable. Now let me turn to this, share the financials of M&M plus MVML. Domestic tractor volumes are higher by 33% and export grew by 4% for tractors. For domestic auto volumes, it was higher by 13% and auto exports were lower by 32%. On the back of it, net revenue at 12,018 crores is higher by 19.4% versus previous year. This is the highest ever revenue of M&M plus MVML. EBITDA at 1923 crores was higher by 35% versus previous year. Revenue higher by 19.4% and EBITDA higher by 35.1%. OPM margin at 16%, higher by 190 basis points versus previous year. This is the best OPM since F12. And F12 I am referring to because that's when the first of the merger started happening. That was with the Mahindra Renault JV's company, which we merged in M&M. PBIT 2,079 crores, higher by 26% versus previous year, delivering an ROS of 16.5%, which is the highest ROS from similar period. The higher tax rate continues in Q2 F18 at more than 31% on account of R&D weighted deduction being lower, investment allowance of 32AC discontinued from F18. However, there is no reduction in the headline tax rate and therefore the tax rate is higher. Considering the above, PAT at 1411 crores is up by 22%. Against Q2 F17. This is the highest ever quarterly profit by M&M plus MVM. So just to summarize, revenue at 19.4% and PAT at 22% growth. PAT grew at higher rate than revenue. It was more higher at EBITDA level where the growth was 35%. Now coming to auto segment. Revenue at 7,774 crores, higher by 15.7% versus previous year. And the segment result at 837 crores is higher by 28%, in line with revenue growth of previous year. This is the highest ever segment profit and ROS margin by auto in any quarter. FES segment revenue at 3958 crores, which is higher by 29.9% against last year Q2. Segment result at 841 crores is higher by 38.1% versus previous year. This is the highest ever segment profit and ROS margin reported by any quarter. Financial metrics of debt equity remains gross at 0.1 and net at 0. Let me repeat the key financials of Q2 F18. Highest ever revenue and PAT, highest OPM and ROS for M&M since F12. FES and auto achieved highest ever quarterly PBIT and ROS margin. With that, I would now hand over the mic to Dr. Pavan Goenka.
Thank you, Partha. I don't want to take too much time in the opening remarks. I want to leave as much time as possible for you to ask questions. But let me just say that this is perhaps one of the best quarters that we have had in a long time, both in terms of operational performance as well as financial performance. Industry has done extremely well, both auto and tractor. And given that this is the first quarter post-GST, it also is a good sign that GST has certainly not taken anything away from the business, and if anything, it has helped the business in its performance. For tractor, the Q2 industry this quarter was the highest ever, 2% higher than the previous highest, which was about 4 years ago. And we expect this year the volume for the industry to be the highest ever volume ever achieved. For Mahindra, again, this Q2 was the highest ever volume with a 33% growth compared to last year. And in September, in fact, we had the highest ever monthly billing that we have seen in the in the tractor business for Mahindra at 44,000. For automotive, in Q2, their PV industry grew by about 13.4%. Mahindra overall volume, not just the PV volume, but the overall volume growth was about 13%. Mahindra had now started doing quite well in terms of market share, though we are still very low in heavy commercial vehicle, that is trucks, and we have grown now to about 4.2% market share, and we are significantly outperforming in terms of volume growth the industry. Based on what has happened to the tractor industry YTD October, we are upping our industry estimate for this year, which was 10 to 12% last quarter, to 12 to 14% now. The industry has grown about 15.5% YTD October, and we think it will end the year at about between 12 and 14%, as I said. For the auto industry, we expect the passenger vehicle segment, which is right now at about 7-8% growth, to end in double digit for the first time after many years at about 10% plus growth. Good growth in LCV segment for the industry, and medium and heavy commercial vehicle segment should be just about even, because the first quarter, you will recall, was very bad. We have caught up with the first quarter now, and the second quarter has made up for the loss in first quarter for the industry. Exports were somewhat subdued for us. Tractor had a reasonably good growth of 8% for the half, but automotive had a degrowth of 32%. This is primarily because of the two largest markets that we have, Nepal and Sri Lanka. In Nepal, there is a problem in terms of financing overall for the country, and in Sri Lanka, there is a problem because of regulation changes that has significantly increased the duties. For the auto industry and tractor industry, both of the auto business and tractor business, both, we have significant new launches happening over the next 12 months. In auto, we will have 3 refreshes launched over this quarter and next quarter, and the big ones, the U321 and S201, will be launched within the next year. For the tractor, we have at least one brand new platform that will be launched. We have launched a driverless tractor, phase one. That will happen before the end of financial year, and we have several variants that will be launched in tractor during this year. On the inventory side, we're doing quite well. In fact, end of October, end of September is not a good time to look, because we always build up inventory for the festive season. But end of October, for tractor, we believe that we are perhaps the lowest in the industry, and lower than the normal average that we would have for dealer inventory in tractors. And for automotive, we are roughly where we would want to be at the end of October, having significantly downstocked during the month of October. Material cost increase has been about what we had expected, roughly about 2.5% increase in material prices for tractor side, and about 1% for auto side. Tractor side had more because of tires and casting, which is a very large part of overall tractor material basket. We have taken price increases to offset in the auto, somewhat lagging in the tractor, which we'll be making up during this quarter. What I want to just spend a couple of minutes on is our sort of confidence going forward, the tailwinds that we see in our business, and why we think that the performance that we have had in Q1, Q2 this year should continue for us. This is not a forward-looking statement. I'm just giving you the landscape of where we see the industry and where we see Mahindra in the industry. Basically, first of all, as I look at all the macroeconomic environment is very conducive to growth. Yes, there are some concerns on GDP growth, but general feeling is that this should not really have a major impact on the automotive and tractor, because there are many other factors that are in favor of supporting automotive and tractor growth. There is positive sentiment in urban area. Rural area, we have had very good retail growth in automotive last quarter, 24% growth. With 2 consecutive good monsoon that we have had, normally third year becomes monsoon proof. Therefore, even though there's no forecast for monsoon for next year, but normally after two good years, third year should not be a concern, even if the monsoon is somewhat deficient, though we have no reason to believe it will be right now. The thrust that the government has on infrastructure, especially rural infrastructure, bodes very well for our businesses. The Bharat Mala scheme should do wonders for tractor industry as well as automotive industry, because a lot of automotive sales happens in the infrastructure sector. And availability of finance is not an issue at all. GST implementation has gone smoothly, and GST has not increased prices for either automotive or tractor products that we have. And if I look at Mahindra in that context, we have now a very strong portfolio in UPs. We have the KUB100 NXT that was launched just before Diwali. We have some variants of KUB300 that we have done. Bolero, Scorpio, and XUV500 are doing very well. And we have three more refreshes happening in the next 4 to 5 months, and we have two launches happening in the next 1 year. On the commercial vehicle side, Jito, BMT, Pickup, all are doing well. In fact, both these products are running full capacity, and we are right now adding capacity for these products. Blazo for truck is doing very well. Of course, the truck industry still is suffering from very high discounting, but at least in terms of volume, we are doing very well. On tractor side, Jivo, Yuvo, Novo, all the three products that we have launched in the last 2 years doing very well. then when we look at the businesses where we were losing money, that is Mahindra two-wheeler, now after demerger, the losses from Mahindra two-wheeler has come down to a very small number. In fact, this quarter we had a PAT loss of 12 crores, PAT loss of only 12 crores coming from Mahindra two-wheeler. And Mahindra Truck and Bus also, though it's not separately presented, the losses have come down significantly from the previous losses. We are investing in new-gen technologies, next-gen technology. BS6, we see no concern right now in meeting the April 1st manufacturing timeline. Of course, if there is any kind of change that happens in that, that will be a concern. But as defined right now by Government of India, we will be ready for it. We are ready with all the safety requirements. Electric vehicle, of course, is an area where we are on the forefront, and there is a lot of interest in electric vehicles right now. And all the globalization stuff that we have done for tractor, especially the Mitsubishi agriculture, the Turkey acquisitions, the Sampo acquisition, all are doing what we had expected them to do. And of course, we always have a focus on operational efficiency, controlling inventory, no issue anywhere. Debtor status, no issue anywhere, working capital well managed, material cost well managed. And therefore, overall, the picture that I'm trying to paint for you is that both the industry side and within the industry, how Mahindra is, we remain very optimistic about the short term as you go into third and fourth quarter. I'll stop there and open up for any questions. I have not covered other businesses. We'll do that depending on the questions that you ask.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to limit the question to one per participant. If time permits, you may join the question queue for any follow-ups. Also, participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a great set of numbers. Firstly, I wanted to check what is the key driver for margin expansion and how sustainable do you think that is?
Well, one of the things that I would like to say is that we didn't carry anything into this quarter from previous quarters. That means everything that was a GST impact, one-time GST impact, we took care of in quarter one of last year. Everything that was a BS4 impact, we took care of in quarter four of previous financial year. So there's nothing that we carried into this year. And all the stuff that we have worked that we've been doing in terms of operational efficiency has certainly worked to our favor. And if we look at model mix, because obviously certain models are more profitable than others, if you look at model mix has been favorable. In case of auto, we have passed on all the material cost increase in our pricing, and therefore that is not a concern. And there was no loss of margin because of GST. And if we add up everything together, then it just is a recipe for good operating margin. Whether it will remain in so in future, we never answer that question. We always strive to try and maintain our margin, but would never be able to say or never will say that we will manage or not manage.
So let me just add a couple of points to what Pawan has said. First is, another way to ask is there any one time in this quarter? And the answer is no. For previous year, there has been one time benefit, which makes the performance even better. But for a minute, for taking Q2 of F18, there is no one time. The second thing that I wanted to say, that if you see each line item, as you will see from M&M plus MVML financial figures that you have, stock exchange, which are filed, so that will show that each of the cost lines have increased. However, because of a higher revenue increase, all the productivity in cost appear. So this is one of the things that, you know, in a sense, we've been languishing in a particular segment as India Inc. because the revenue has not been very high growth. Now, when you see the revenue growth, you see the productivity improvement in the line item. The third is that the auto sector, if you see the segment result, you see a very good set of numbers. And that has been because the power brand continues to do well, and it did really well in the current quarter. And that has led to expansion in the auto margin just by sheer mix impact.
And finally, as we have said in the past, that we do not go after volume at any cost. And therefore, we do remain true to how much of customer incentive we will give to generate sales. And that's worked well for us in terms of getting financial performance.
Okay. Especially on raw material costs, I mean, do we see any cost pressures going ahead?
Well, the raw material prices are expected to increase at the same pace that they have increased in the first half. And right now, we do believe that we have the ability to pass on that increase to in our pricing. Of course, a lot of it depends on what competitors do. And if major competitors decide not to pass on, then we also have to react. But right now, our view is that we will pass on the, we'll be able to pass on the commodity price increase in the pricing.
And so one question was on the volume side. We've seen very good performance on, you know, on volume front in both the sectors, but especially, you know, UV sector where we were struggling a bit. So anything we are doing differently, or is it the market conditions which have become much better? Added to that, if you can add some comments on KUV as well, because we brought out a new variant. So what are the major changes which you think here can work, which were not working earlier?
I think basically, first of all, thank you for observing that, because we have always been struggling to kind of tell you that we shouldn't be overly concerned about UVs. So basically what we have been saying for last couple of quarters, that KUV and TUV had a slow start, and we have been saying that now we see uptick happening. And basically that's what it is. In addition to doing well in our what we call power brands, Bolero, Scorpio, and actually 500, we started seeing positive traction on both TUV 300 and KUV 100, and that's adding to our UV volumes. And that really, there's no other magic. That's what it is, that these two products, when we start firing, then clearly we have a very good set of products, because our product portfolio is very rich. And we have 4 out of 6 performing very well, and two are starting to perform well. The KUV 100 NXT launch that we did, so far, all the sort of feedback that we have gotten in terms of how they like the product, it's been very positive. We launched just a few days before Diwali, and so didn't catch Diwali season much. But now we are beginning to see the sort of churn happening in terms of inquiries and retail. So end of November, end of December would be a good test of how the replace launch has gone. But our feel right now is that it's gone well, and therefore should give us good numbers.
What are the major changes?
Mr. Singh, may we request to join the question queue for any follow-up, as we have several participants waiting for their turn.
Just one minute, just we can answer what he was asking about KUE. Any, you know, what
What are the major changes?
As when we launched the product, we have talked about 40 changes that we have done to KUV. So obviously, I don't have time to go through the 40 here. But the changes include exterior styling, interior styling, performance, NVH, fuel efficiency, seating comfort, everything. So all the inputs that we had from the initial launch, where we had to correct some gaps or add some new things, we have done. We have very good infotainment system, a good screen in this price band. To have that kind of screen is not very common. So overall, it's become a very good attractive package. And most people have appreciated the styling change, the design change that we have done. So we think that we have a very good package and also very attractively priced, and therefore should give us good volume.
Thanks, sir. That's very helpful. And wish you all the best.
Thank you. I'm going to answer one thing because it's an important point you raised, and I thought I mentioned on a broad basis, the margins, part of the expansion also comes the way revenue is recognized. In FES, like I told you, last year, the revenue embeds input tax. So if you see, roughly 7% of the revenue is impacted. So last year's impact is 180 crores. And just fast forward to this year and take a multiple of 17% growth, 220 crores. When you reduce the revenue, but the gross margin and profits remain same, the percentage goes up. So keep that in thing, which is why I've restated the previous year. Because if you go back and see the previous year figure, the margins will be a little lower than what I have shown for the previous year. So keep that in mind. Part of this has come by the numerator denominator impact. Okay?
Okay. That helps. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Raghunandan from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just continuing on the KUV part, for the first half of the year, the monthly run rate was closer to 1,600 vehicles, whereas I think in October it has gone up to 4,000 vehicles. So just wanted to understand, how do you see the numbers panning ahead in coming months?
See, it's difficult to forecast. October, what you see, 4,000 is because we were withdrawing the product in the month of September and filling the channel in October. What I would like to say is that we would ramp up to about 4,000 consistent volume. And if we get to that volume, that I would consider to be a good volume to KUV 1.0.
And sir, for the last quarter, can you give your comments on what was the growth during the festive season, Navratra to Navratra, yeah, Diwali to Diwali, and also a bit color on the rural-urban demand? You said in the initial commentary that it was a 24% growth in rural.
So on the tractor side, when I say festive season, I cannot give you from Navratra to Diwali, but what I can give you is September, October combined. For September Pro combined, more or less, is a good comparison of last year festive season and this year festive season. And during this time, the industry growth is approximately, sorry, let me just talk about Mahindra growth. Mahindra growth during this time, combined together, both Mahindra Swaraj brand of tractor is about 14.2%. And for automotive, the growth is for September, October together. For UV segment, it is this segment, Mahindra. Sorry, I will come back to you on the automotive. I think it's about 7-8%, right?
Together. 1.5%.
I think for UV, it is about 7-8%, the September, October together. And for September, October together for festive month, UV growth is about 8% for us. For LCV, about 7%. For trucks, 96%. For LCV, about 18%. Overall, domestic growth overall is about 9%.
Thank you, sir. For the two-wheeler business, can you share details of the fixed assets and the current assets?
Details on what?
The gross block and the working capital.
So can I suggest one thing, that because this is the first time the merger has happened, This may be an interesting one, so we will give you offline, yeah, to everyone, yeah, whoever requires, they can put it on the website also, yeah. So like I gave you, the top line is 37 crores, PBT is minus 21 crores, and PAT is minus 12 crores. Asset side, I'll give you some, yeah, offline, but it's not a material change to the thing, but we'll give you.
Yeah, we had done some impairment last year, and therefore the number will.
Yeah.
Sir, can you...
Mr. Nandan, may I request to join the question queue for any follow-ups? Thank you. Also, participants are requested to limit their question to one per participant. If time permits, you may join the question queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pramod Amte from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. With regard to the two-wheeler, some clarification, you have issued some shares. Can you quantify the reason for the same?
This is the swap that we had done with the shareholders, and it is as per the demerger scheme.
And you will be holding in treasury, or you are giving it to a third party?
No, this is in the two-wheeler, there was a private equity, which is called Samina Capital.
Okay.
When the merger happened, we cannot issue share to ourselves. So to that extent, our own company held, we cancelled the shares. Only to Samina, we have issued shares.
And there's one more. Two.
Yeah, through two people. I mean, Samina is the biggest one, but there is ICIC also. Both of them were issued shares.
And with regard to EV business, you were talking about making big investments to go forward with the new products and all. But especially with the last month government order not coming through, how do you see that as a challenge? And especially with globally also government policies and governments driving the big thing in EVs, is that a setback? How will you be looking at the future contracts on the same?
What do you mean by government order not coming through?
In the sense, the large part has gone to the competitor as compared to you.
No, so let me address this question. There is clearly some sort of misconception there might be.
Sure.
We have, as far as EESL order is concerned, first of all, the total order in two phases, phase one and phase two, was for 10,000 vehicles. We were L2 in the bidding. And as per the tender condition, L2 was given an opportunity to match the L1 and get the 30% of the order, which we have done. And therefore we have an order of 150 out of 500 in phase one. If we were L1, we would have gotten 250. So the difference is not very large. And even as L2, we had an opportunity to bid for 250 because L1 had bid only for 250. And therefore, if we wanted to, we could have gotten 250. Okay. Now for phase two, 9,500 vehicles, L1 will be given 4,750, and we will be given an opportunity to match L1 to get order for as much as 4,750. Okay, and therefore we certainly are in the race to fulfill the EESL order roughly at the same level in terms of volume as the L1 bidder. Now, as far as our investment is concerned, this has no impact whatsoever on the investment plans that we have talked about before. We have talked about investing approximately 600 crores in technology and component development for electric vehicles and some more money in terms of product development, which we have not talked about. We have our firm plans, which have not changed in the last 2 to 3 months, on what all we'll be doing. We will be setting up a battery plant, not a cell plant, a battery plant. We'll buy cells from outside India. We will be assembling cells to make modules and battery pack. We'll be setting up a plant for motor in joint venture with a party from outside India. We'll be setting up a plant for power electronics, again a joint venture with a party from outside India. And we'll be setting up a plant for transmission. So the four things that go into electric vehicle, power electronics, transmission, motor, and battery, all four will be making in-house and supply to Mahindra and Mahindra, who will make the vehicle. And this is Mahindra Electric that will set up these plants to supply to Mahindra and Mahindra that will make vehicle and anybody else who wants to buy from us any of these components. And so we will, in a sense, become Mahindra Electric, in a sense, is the supplier of electric technology and components, and Mahindra and Mahindra is the maker of the vehicle. So that plan is intact, no change in that plan. And we are currently working on many other avenues other than the government order. And we have sales happening in Bangalore, in Delhi, in Pune, in Mumbai, in Nagpur. And we have more than 3,000 vehicles on the road. We have covered 4.5 crore or 45 million kilometers in India with our electric vehicles. So nothing that has happened in the last few months has had any negative impact on our electric vehicle plans. And we are as optimistic, as aggressive about this as we have been for the last 5-6 years.
Thanks for the detailed clarification. Just a follow-up. In that case, would your investments be going up as compared to what you planned earlier? And second, what's your take on the profitability, because the L1 guy has bid very aggressively on the pricing front?
So, no, the investment that we had talked about had covered this kind of buying from Government of India. And we had talked about investment to get to a capacity of 5,000 vehicles per month. And that's where we are at right now, 5,000 vehicles per month. But if we see the demand going beyond 5,000, we will be happy to invest more. But right now, we're not committing to more than 5,000 a month. 5,000 itself is a bit of a leap of faith, because other than this one large order, there is no specific demand that we see on the ground today. So we are assuming the demand will grow as time goes on. As far as profitability is concerned, we had mentioned that to match the L1 bidder, for these 150 vehicles, our contribution will be 3 crores less than what we had in our bid. And we had said that phase 2 bid will depend on what we are able to do to the costing of these vehicles. We are working on that right now. I think phase 2 opportunity for us still is about a month away, when we'll be invited to match the L1 price. And at that time, depending on how much progress we have made in BOM pricing, for these vehicles, we will decide how much to bid for, or how many vehicles to bid for.
Thank you. Mr. Pramod, just a request to join the question for any follow-ups. Thank you. The next question from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just to follow up on the previous question, when we had bidded with our original pricing, was that pricing PAT positive?
The what?
That pricing PAT positive.
Which pricing? The electric vehicle pricing?
The electric vehicle.
Yeah, electric vehicle pricing right now cannot be PAT positive. This is a growing segment, a lot of investment in technology that happens. And if you put all the technology investment into the sales that we have right now, clearly it can't be PAT positive. There is a lot of investment being done looking at future growth potential of this segment. But we would like to be variable margin positive, and that's what we are attempting to do.
Okay. Second question pertains to how has market reacted to Scorpio Hybrid post GST, given that there's been increase in GST and we have partly passed it on, not fully passed it on.
Sorry, I just want to correct. We would want to be positive at the before depreciation.
EBITDA level.
Yeah. So cash.
Cash profit.
No, that will include interest then. EBITDA. Okay, so at the cash level. We'll want to be positive at the cash profit level. Yeah, now go back to this question. Sorry, what is the question?
Sorry, so that cash positive was at the current pricing or later pricing?
Later pricing. As we look at phase two, phase one was basically matching L1.
Okay.
Now phase two, we will, because we had only a few days to decide. Phase two is where now we have done a lot of work since that time, and phase two is where we will take a decision on the basis of wanting to be cash positive.
Understood.
Other question on this
call? Thank you.
Question was, what is Scorpio Hybrid, Mr.
What is that question? The question was on the Scorpio Hybrid. How has the customers reacted after the duty has gone?
Yeah, so we have taken the price up, and as you can see from growth of Scorpio in this quarter, and that our sales have been pretty good, and September month was the highest ever monthly sale for Scorpio since June 2002. So customers have probably understood that, yes, without the government incentive for hybrid, they will have to pay the full GST on it, and that's what we have done.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amin Pirani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, one clarification. You have restated both the parent as well as MEML for the two-wheeler as well as tractor GST accounting?
Absolutely correct. So, for two-wheeler, previous year, this year it includes the figures.
Yeah.
Previous all year also includes two-wheeler figures. Okay. So, for example, when you see the higher depreciation figure of the previous year,
yeah.
The higher depreciation comes is because there is an impairment of 77 crores of two-wheeler, which was there last year, which is taken into the expense line. Okay, so it is restated.
Okay.
As far as the GST is concerned, this time that it like I told you, it's net price plus payable, which is GST will be a payable. So it will not come into revenue.
Yeah.
Previous years had embedded tax, so to that extent I've restated previous year numbers. Okay.
And so, just on the launches in the automotive side, I think as per the initial, you know, guidance, we were supposed to see the MPV launch this year, and the you know, Indian version of the Tivoli next year. So, is there any change in the timelines? I mean, are we having both of them next year now?
So we still have 4.5 months to this year, so you'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
And S201, as we have said, is on that timeline.
Okay. And sir, just lastly, on the tractor side, I mean, as you mentioned, you know, FY18 will be the highest year. So looking into next year, you know, whether we have a normal monsoon or not, I mean, is this now, you know, I mean, could we have like a flat to slightly negative year because now we've already, you know, recovered, you know, from the last cycle? How could you look at it?
I don't think so because the peak was in FY14. Okay, so this year we would be ending at maybe 4 or 5% higher than the FY14 peak. So if I was to look at CAGR of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 5 years, the CAGR of last 5 years would be less than 1%. And therefore, we cannot say that it is a saturation of demand. We should continue to see good growth, unless it's obviously very terrible monsoon, then it's a different thing. But even if it's somewhat deficient, we should see good growth. And if I was to look at longer term a little bit and do a projection of where tractor industry would saturate to, which is a question that often comes in minds of everyone, including our own mind, as to you know, how long will this growth continue. Our view is that the industry should saturate at somewhere between 12 to 13 lakhs. And right now we are at about 6.5 lakhs.
Okay.
That means the industry should double. And if we are growing at about 8%, it will take another 8 to 9 years before we reach that level of 12 to 13 lakh tractor sale. After that, it will be replacement demand only, which means the growth will come down to 3-4%. That is, but at least for 8-9 years, we do think that there's a good potential to grow at an average 8-9%.
Okay. Thanks for that. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and the congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, I have just one question on the UV front. On the crossover type of models, do you think that now that we are getting our act together, we may not necessarily need that kind of model and a market share, we can at least start gaining market share based on our existing portfolio, or a crossover type model would be a required addition to our portfolio?
Now, when you say crossover type model, what do you mean?
So the see, most of the UVs that are there, be it like Cretas or Brezas or some, most of the latest UVs are not necessarily the traditional UVs.
So basically,
soft roaders, that means the word soft roaders, if not crossover.
Yeah, so basically, we already have two products in that at the two ends. XUV500 is a crossover, and though it is probably more tending towards a SUV sort of stance, but it is a crossover. It is on a it's not on a frame. It is on, it is a monocoque vehicle. And KUV100 is a crossover, clearly. And S201 will be a crossover. So we would have three vehicles in our platform, in our portfolio, a 3.6 meter, roughly about a 4 meter, and roughly about a 4.6 meter, which will be on a crossover platform. So we would have as much of a crossover portfolio as anyone else.
Fair point.
In addition to having our frame portfolio of Bolero, of Scorpio, of the MPV that we will launch, and these three products basically.
And sir, just an update on the rollout of petrol engines for various UVs that you had indicated.
No change. The timeline that I have talked about in the past, the same timeline stays. The KUV is already with a petrol engine. We will continue to enhance that engine as time goes on. The S201 will be launched with a petrol engine along with a diesel engine. And we will be bringing in a petrol engine on all products starting 2000. When we launch the BS6 product, we will have a petrol on every product.
And so last, a clarification on the commodity cost. So you indicated that Q2 has seen some commodity cost pressures, right? Or not necessarily?
No, what I've indicated is that, yes, there has been about a 2.5% increase point-to-point in commodity prices for tractors, and about a 1% increase point-to-point for automotive. In automotive, we have passed on the complete increase in the pricing. In tractor, we are slightly behind, and we'll be catching up on that. And hopefully, by end of this quarter, we would have passed on the full price increase in tractor also.
This means what?
Mr. Chiraksha, may I request you to join the question queue for any follow-ups? Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Actually, just continuing with the same question. So,
there's very good nexus amongst all of you. Huh? Okay.
So, what is the price increase in this quarter?
We will not talk about price increases we'll take during the quarter.
No.
On Q2. We had taken 1.1% increase in... 1.5% increase in automotive, and we have taken 1.7% increase in tractor.
Okay. And just actually going back to even again the petrol diesel question on, when do we see, are we going for gasoline direct injection? And I can understand for the larger vehicles, you can still stick with probably diesel. But say for products like the TUV, etc., as we get after this year, we have 2 years left. So do we go, are you looking at gasoline direct injection, and when do we see launch for, say, petrol engine for TUVs?
So I will not want to be very specific on the details of technology in gasoline engine, but all I want to tell you is that we will have different options in gasoline. Including MPFI, including just turbo, and including GTI.
Okay, and the target on this is that by the time the BS6 is, we'll launch it.
Yeah, by the time BS6 comes, all the vehicles will have petrol as an option, and even before that, some vehicles will start getting petrol. But by the time BS6 comes, everything will be petrol. Everything will have petrol option.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saurabh Kumar from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, on the auto margin, the entire margin improvement is just coming due to volume improvement in Bolero and Scorpio? Or is there also additional contribution from reducing losses at MTB and the LCV business?
Okay, before we answer that question, let me, since there's so much interest in petrol engine, let me say a little bit more on petrol. We will basically have three petrol engines in our portfolio. I'm not counting on the sub 1 liter, which will go on the smaller commercial vehicle. I'm not counting on that. For our passenger vehicle, we'll have three petrol engines. This we have talked about in the past, so nothing new, but just summarizing. 1.2 liter engine, which is currently in KUV 100. Right now, what we have is a naturally aspirated engine. We will have with time turbocharged and GDI both on the 1.2 liter and decide which versions goes on which vehicle. We may decide that sometimes we'll have both GDI and MPFI in higher and lower variant. Because GDI, of course, costs more money. So we'll have 1.2. Similarly, we'll have a 1.5, which again will have a GDI version and an MPFI version. And this engine is a common engine with SsangYong, developed jointly by Mahindra and SsangYong, and will be co-owned by Mahindra and SsangYong. And then we will have a 2-liter engine, which will be a brand new engine. And that engine also will be a GDI as well as MPFI. And therefore, we would have three displacements, 1.2, 1.5, and 2. And we will have two or three variants, MPFI, turbo, non-turbo, and GDI. So that will give us a complete range of petrol engine. And all of these will be brand new engine. Because 2-liter is under development right now, 1.5 is under development right now, and 1.2 was launched just 2 years ago. So we'll have a completely new portfolio of gasoline engines by 2020. And meeting, of course, BS6 emission norms. Now, coming back to the profit improvement that you talked about, it's a combination of things. I don't know, Partha, how much light you want to shed on it, but it's a combination of things. It's not just volume. It's not just cost. Everything together is leading to it.
Yes. So two or three things, actually, very clearly. One is mix is positive and that gives. So it's not just things. So it is a combination of the mix that is coming. And this quarter, the power brands, which is also very significant contributors, have been on the forefront and have been told that, you know, it seems part of it is also the rural story coming to play, and part of the story is overall it's been festive season has been very good, even at both Bharat and India. The second part is that you are right, some portion of it has to come because MTV, is improving contribution. And this is a story we said it will play out. Yeah, there may be a small improvement every quarter, that you could see, and you have seen that in this quarter. The third one is our cost. We are always focused. We know that it's an industry which is where we are competitive. So cost reduction, which is VAVE, has been a very integral part of our story. So all of them, when the revenue growth is high, all of this is accentuated positively, which is what I made a point. And that's what has come to play. And if you're looking at EBITDA margin, please understand that, let's say, personal cost is increased by 6%, but revenue has increased by 18%. So there is a huge productivity increase. If the overall other expenses, as we call it, are all expenses, have increased by 11-12%, revenue again has increased less, so you get productivity, so on. And depreciation, other than 2LS, is flat year on year, which is what we expected. Again, revenue growth means percentage comes from, broadly. Yeah, that's how you should look at it.
Thanks for this explanation, sir. And if you can just check.
Mr. Kumar, sorry, just to join the question queue for any follow-ups, as we have several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jatin Chawla from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. We just saw the news flash on you investing in the U.S. for a new plant. So just wanted some details or thoughts on that. Is it will it be SsangYong vehicles, Mahindra vehicles, or what are the plans there?
So the announcement formally will be made on 20th November in a ceremony in Detroit. So I don't want to take the thunder away from that. But basically, this plant is a plant for making off-road vehicle, not UVs and SUVs as we know it. These are special vehicles in U.S., a different category of vehicles that are used only off-road for the purpose of recreation, for the purpose of farming, for the purpose of just basically hunting and stuff like that. Okay, these are not on-road vehicles. So this is a special vehicle that we have designed for U.S. To be sold only in U.S., which will be made in this plant. This plant is not designed with the aim of either supplying the USPS vehicle, that is United States Postal Service contract that, as you know, we are bidding for, nor for SsangYong. If those two things happen, then we will have a different plan for it. USPS will require a much larger plant than what this plant is, and SsangYong will most likely be a CBU. We are yet to decide, but that plan is still 4 years away. So this is not meant for that. Investment details, volumes, product, all of these will be announced on 20th November.
Okay. Thanks. Second question is on, if you could just comment on the SsangYong performance, because when we've had a great quarter on in the domestic autos business, but on the console level, the autos numbers are not looking that great. I guess that will be because of SsangYong. So just, if you could just share some details on that.
Yes. So SsangYong has had a difficult quarter, and this quarter. Just give me 1 second. So overall we have had a good volume growth in domestic. So domestic performance continues to do well. G4 Extend that we had launched in May, started selling in May. That's doing well in domestic market. Have not yet started selling in export market. Where we have suffered is in export degrowth which has degrown in third quarter by about 28%, and same degrowth actually for the whole nine months of the year, about 29% degrowth. And therefore, overall, there is a volume degrowth of 2.2% for third quarter and 4.5% overall for 9 months, leading to a PBT loss of 102 crore, translated using conversion rate, 102 crore for this quarter, Q3. But if we were to look at the EBITDA level is same as last year. That is, if you don't count the one-time licensing fee that Mahindra had given to SsangYong for the S201 platform, the EBITDA level performance is same. The reason, in spite of the volumes being slightly lower, the reason that PBT is large negative is, as I said, twofold. One is what you saw in licensing fee not happening this year. And second one is in currency exchange, because export is still a significant part of the overall revenue, approximately about 30%. And therefore, the Korean won, KRW being somewhat stronger this year than it was last year, has also led to a loss in at the PBT level. We need to work on improving our export performance, we hope that the Korean won comes back to the level that it was a year before. Now, I should also say that we are looking at potential of G4 extension coming to India, and if that happens, that obviously will bring some revenue and one-time fee to SsangYong, which will help in the P&L. And we are also looking at some other licensing that we could be doing from SsangYong. If any of these become reality, then that will definitely help in P&L. So basically, the bottom line summary is that at the EBITDA level, performance is similar to last year. At the volume level, a small drop from last year. And the PBT level, a big swing from last year because of the one-time and the currency exchange rate.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for opportunity and congratulations. Sir, on this refreshing of this AUV, we said, what exactly we are doing that so in future, whenever we launch a product, we don't have to come out with the refresh. So from the day one, it starts picking up the way you want.
For that answer, you'll have to come and work for Mahindra and Mahindra.
No.
You will not get it as an analyst.
No, what exactly we are doing?
I cannot be saying that on a call on what exactly are we doing.
Yeah. Okay, and second thing, sir, I mean, we are looking for farm machinery internationally growing that business over by 2020. So what's your sense? Can you give the color how it's panning out?
I didn't follow the
question.
Yeah, so farm machinery, that is farm equipment minus tractor, is a very large segment. In fact, overall, globally, it's even bigger than the tractor segment, where we have had almost negligible presence. So we are focusing quite heavily on that segment because we see that as a big growth area for us. So in India, we have implements business, that has a good growth this year. We have grown about 30% from last year, but it still amounts to a very small number. We'll probably end up at about 250 crore revenue in that business this year. But we are looking at international growth in that. Hisarlar is a company that we have bought in Turkey, primarily with a view of growing the implements business. The Sempo is a company that we had bought a year and a half ago in Finland, again looking primarily at the growth in harvester area. And Mitsubishi Agriculture Machinery also has a very strong presence in rice transplanter and rice harvester. So these three acquisitions have been done with a view to growing our implements business or mechanization business. And then we are doing a lot of R&D work on developing new implements for India as well as for global markets. And we will therefore see a lot of activity and growth happening in this segment.
So what's our inspiration? I mean, and what is the current size and over the next 2-3 years, where do we like to see this business?
Well, I've told you the current size is in India, 250 crores revenue likely this year. Sempo by itself is about 170 crore. 602. Yeah. Sempo for the half was about 190 crore. Hisar Lar for the half was about 100 crore. And Mitsubishi Agriculture Machinery has this embedded in it, so I cannot separate out the implements and tractor. But overall, you can count the numbers maybe about 700-800 crore, 1,000 crore this year, and an area where we have strong growth aspirations. I cannot give you a forecast for what might happen in 2 to 3 years.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
But I ask a question differently. You talked about some businesses which will do $1 billion. This one. So you aspirationally, what they are saying is that is it a big bet? And you would think so.
Yes, sir. So some time ago we had talked about 4 or 5 businesses that we are growing.
Correct.
Which will become $1 billion businesses for us in times to come. And times to come meaning next 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 years. There, if I recall correctly, we had our agriculture business where we have MASL as a separate entity, which is growing through both organic and inorganic, and we are on our path to get to $1 billion in about 5-6 years there. We have the Mahindra USA tractor business, which has now grown to $600 million. That will be another $1 billion business for us. Third is a power all business, where we have grown to about 1,200 crores this year. We'll continue to grow in that business. And we have a lot of new things happening. We could have almost a full call on what's happening on Powerol. And the fourth one is on the implements business, where we are right now. This year will probably total to about 1,000 crores. And that, again, has a potential to becoming a $1 billion business. So these are the 4 or 5 things that we have talked about as a potential $1 billion business.
So we are tracking, we are still looking at the same way. That's all I just wanted to add.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Last question, please.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, we have the next question from the line of Srinath Krishnan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and good evening. Sir, it would be helpful if you could throw some light on the alliance that you have formed with Ford recently. By when would we start seeing the benefits of the alliance?
There is not that much more to say on it than what we have announced on the day we announced the alliance. We have talked about 8 or 9 areas that we are working on together to explore how we can cooperate, which includes mobility, which includes connectivity, which in connected car, which includes electric cars, includes power product development technology, includes sourcing, includes distribution, includes global distribution. And each of these areas, we have teams working together right now to explore where are the common areas of cooperation. The big sort of tangible benefit will come in product development and in sourcing. If you're able to find that by working together, we can reduce cost of product development, and if we can improve on sourcing cost, that's where the big bang will be. Also, we are fully aligned in terms of how we see the future of mobility, how we see the focus on electric vehicles, how we see focus on mobility, and therefore there's a lot of good work happening in terms of understanding each other's, the direction that we have, and then deciding on where we will work together and in what manner.
So the benefits of which will start flowing 2-3 years down the line, once we...
I would think so. But again, it's too early to say because right now we're exploring.
So what Pavan is saying, watch this space.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question.
Before you wrap up, I just want to take a couple of minutes on electric vehicle because, again, there are a lot of questions on it. And want to give a little bit of a holistic answer to it so that you understand the full thing. I have given you part of the answer while answering the question that was asked earlier. Just want to say that in electric vehicle, we are going to be participating in the full range from three-wheeler to buses. So in three-wheeler, we have already launched a lead-acid battery, E-Alpha, in Delhi, which started selling in the month of October. And we are currently finalizing a lithium-ion three-wheeler and an e-rickshaw both, which we hope to launch in the fourth quarter of this financial year. We are working on buses right now, these buses will probably be ready in about a year's time to be launched, but we might do some pilot batch sooner than that. We are working on a small commercial vehicle. We already have something called eSupro that is plying in Delhi in delivery service and plying in Himachal Pradesh in carrying passengers because eSupro can carry 7 passengers. And we have our eVarito and E2O Plus. E-Burrito is part of the ESL order, and also a lot of other fleet order that is happening with E-Burrito, and E2O Plus is again going into the Ola project that we done in Nagpur, and many other mobility projects that we're working on right now will have that. We have finalized the long-term sourcing contract for our lithium ion cells, which is the most expensive part of the electric vehicle. And with that, we would expect to see a potential cost reduction going into the future. And basically, the large cost in electric vehicles is in cells, which currently is priced anywhere between $200 to $230 per kilowatt hour, which we expect to go down to about $120, $125 per kilowatt hour in 2 to 3 years' time. And that's where the big saving will come, and that's what will make electric vehicles more affordable. So this, I just wanted to give a little bit more of a complete picture on what we are doing in electric vehicle, and we will be doing partnerships in many of these areas, and some of these will be doing organically.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, I hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agrawal for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining the call, and thank you, Mahindra, for giving us the opportunity to host it. Have a good evening and a good weekend.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of HSBC Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.